Welcome to Podcast Voice Training. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, and with me is my new co-host, Jan Jansen. Welcome, Jan.
Thank you, Scott.
So, can you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself and your coaching, and because you're a phenomenal speech coach, and just give us a little bit of your background.
Well, Scott, I've been an entrepreneur since I was 19, so that's now 25 years. And I was trained as a public speaker since the time I was 8 years old. So now, as part of my coaching, I also work with entrepreneurs. And if public speaking is part of what they're needing to do to grow their business, then I work with them.
Oh, great. Cool. So what are we going to talk about today?
Well, the first thing I think is really important with public speaking is to really be yourself and to learn how to be natural up on stage.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Actually, it's kind of funny because I have a unique speaking style when I'm up on stage. And I worked with a voice coach for a number of months. And one of the things that he said was, you know, Scott, you're very unique up there. You've got a sense of humor that would not work for most people, but it works for you. So what I really want to do is make sure that I don't do anything and you don't do anything to change your style because it's unique. It works. But it is very, very different. So I thought that was very interesting because I thought going into it that he would be saying, well, you know, you've got to stop doing this and you have to do this and you have to modulate your voice somehow and all these things that just weren't me, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, that's really cool. Like, yeah, just be yourself and don't try to change that because that's a very, very important part of public speaking. And I think oftentimes people get up on a stage, in front of a group of people, and they think they have to be somebody different.
Yes, absolutely, Scott. And I think that's where I've seen some challenges with some of the organizations that do teach public speaking, mm-hmm. is that people come out almost in a robotic way as far as their public speaking goes. And I think that they lose their identity. I think they lose a lot of their personality because they're so concerned about following the rules.
Right.
And I just think that what captivates me when I'm listening to a speaker is that they are different, that they are unique, that they are special, and they are so in their space that it works.
Right.
But when you've done a lot of public speaking coaching or training with, you know, a lot of the organizations that are out there, they very much want you to do it this way and, you know, you don't laugh at your own jokes and all these things.
Right.
I don't know. It doesn't work for me.
Yeah. And you know what? You and Zig Ziglar are in agreement on that because I was just reading a book of his on public speaking and he says people will come up to him after he's talked and say, I'm going to be the next Zig Ziglar. And he'll say, well, you're going to do a very, very poor job of that, young man. You need to be yourself.
Absolutely,
That's very,
so,
very important.
So to me, Scott, it's really important that people develop their own style, but that's easier said than done sometimes because we're not really sure what our own style is.
Right.
Especially when you're starting. So a couple of things that somebody can do is, first of all, you want to be out there looking and watching other speakers. So go out to every event. Sometimes it's not even that I'm interested in the topic, but I wanted to go and watch other public speakers. I wanted to look at their mannerisms. I wanted to see how they carried themselves. I wanted to see what they did with their notes. I wanted to see how they prepared their presentations. I wanted to see how they did back of the room sales.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going with the express purpose of simply watching and observing so that I could learn and go, okay, I like that. Don't like that. Well, that's interesting. Or maybe I could incorporate this.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's... I went to a real estate seminar the other, about a month ago, and there was about 6 speakers. And it was very, very interesting to watch them because only one of them caused a stampede to the back of the room. They all wanted it, but only one did, right? And it was very interesting to watch how he did it, how he worked with the crowd, how he moved people around, and how he motivated them. And other people had probably better information. They had more interesting topics, but they weren't able to move people. And I think it's really, really important. If you want to be a successful public speaker, which is moving the people to take action, that's my definition of it, you need to get out there and watch what people are doing. So I think that's a great point.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting how you'll pick up little things here and there, and you'll go, oh, okay. And the more educated you become in watching people, you'll pick up smaller and smaller details. So you can say, okay, I see the difference here, where in the beginning you might not. So that's one thing. And then I always think it's good to ask other people. If you're in the restroom in between a break and you hear people going, oh, I just love so-and-so, you know, stop as you're washing your hands and say, well, what did you like? You know, I'm a public speaker. I'd love to know why you enjoyed so-and-so. Mm-hmm. Or if you hear people saying, oh, you know, this is as good as I thought it was going to be, and they're moaning and groaning, say, what were you expecting, or what don't you like?
Yeah.
Because, obviously, we're, as public speakers, we need to appeal to the audience. So their opinion matters.
Absolutely.
A lot.
That's right.
So that's one thing. And then, when you do see something, if you see a mannerism or you see a way of doing things, don't assume just because it looks natural on Mary Smith up on stage, it's going to look great on you.
Right.
So it's a question then of coming home and practicing. And that sounds really funny because you may look or feel really stupid standing in front of the bathroom mirror, waving your hands a certain way or making a certain face. But it's so true that it looked fine on them. But let me tell you, they've either practiced it because they've picked it up from someone else.
Right.
Or it's a natural idiosyncrasy with them.
Yeah.
You need to practice.
Yeah. Actually, rehearsing and practicing is very, very important because in any skill, like if you're professional sports, if you're an actor, if you're doing any sort of activity, any type of business, any sort of trade, you practice, you practice. And just imagine going to see your dentist and he's never practiced before, right? I mean, you're the first time he's ever done a root canal, right? And he's never actually practiced on anything. Like, you're not going to feel that comfortable being there, right? And I think practicing and rehearsing is something that we don't really tell people to do enough of. Yeah. And you made a great point when we were talking earlier about videoing.
Yeah, absolutely, Scott. And I guess when I hear public speakers, and I hear this a lot, they say, well, you know, I'm just going to wing it. Right. And I just cringe because what they're wanting is that really natural, easygoing, not stilted type of presentation.
Right.
To achieve that takes far more practice than standing up there and reading at a podium with 20 pages of notes. To sound like you are winging it actually takes way more practice. And so I know one of the things that I was stunned at when the first time I had myself videoed, when I watched the video, I had no idea, for example, that I made the faces that I did.
Right.
Now I understand why the audience loved coming to my workshops because I was having so much fun up on stage and I was laughing and I was playing with them and I had them engaged, but I had no idea that I was doing all these faces.
Right.
It was pretty interesting.
Right.
At times I was almost horrified, but it was it was great to be able to see that. So I know I had a friend who I went to coach her, and she had no idea that she was walking around with her hands planted on her hips. And the way she had done it was almost like a chicken with these wings out.
Right.
And when I mentioned it to her, she said, no, you're not serious. I said, yeah, Kelly, I am. She said, I had no idea.
Yeah.
So practicing and watching ourselves, having ourselves videoed, those are all awesome opportunities to see, okay, I looked really natural there, and here I looked, yeah, I was natural. I looked really goofy. I don't know if I want to look that
right.
Natural.
Yeah, it's important to get the feedback, right?
And, absolutely.
You know, feedback from a speaking coach or someone that's really, really good at speaking is important. From the audience is important. But also to be able to see yourself. I know the first time I'm on a DVD of one of my talks, right, that's being sold right now. And the first time I watched it, I really had to just sort of clear the room and watch it by myself. It took a little getting used to seeing me up on the screen, right? And but then, you know, you're right. Like, you watch and you say, wow. And you look at little things that you want to improve. And that's how you improve, because if you're not aware, you can't improve.
No. And that's why it's important to listen to yourself. It's important to watch yourself. So the other thing that I really think is important is that you always continue to develop and learn.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I've heard from, well, I have a friend who does a lot of media interviews, and he's interviewed many of the big names, and he's also interviewed a lot of the up-and-coming. And what he has found is that so many of the well-established names, it's almost like they've done this 1,000 times, because they have.
Right.
And so it sounds canned. It sounds staid.
Right.
Whereas the up-and-coming, they still have that enthusiasm. They're still climbing that ladder. And they're not taking anything for granted. They're not assuming that, oh, yeah, I'm so-and-so, so this interview's a given. They're really appreciative of those opportunities. And so they have that passion, they have that enthusiasm, they have that drive, and it comes through. So I think one of the biggest issues is if you've been doing a presentation for a long time, yeah, it may sound really natural, but it also may start to sound almost canned or staid.
Yeah, you have to be really, really careful that you don't get bored with yourself.
Yeah.
And I really think that lifelong learning, constant improvement are important values in being a successful speaker. And I know one speaker who will do a weekend and he'll do $500,000 in sales, right? Mm-hmm. And I went up to him, and not that I'm going to coach him on how to speak, but we did work together, and I said, you know, I'd like to look at someone's coaching on speaking because I'd like to see what we could do to improve. And he basically turned to me and said, you know what, we could coach anybody in the world on how to do this because we go out and we do $500,000 and basically we don't need to improve, we're very successful. And I just went, okay, well, I'm not going to have any more conversations with you about this. And now, you know, like 6 months later, I hear that, you know, sales are down 30% and the crowds are less and they're thinking about not doing it anymore. And of course they're not going to be doing it anymore because he hasn't improved. He's just stayed where he was. And unfortunately, you can't fool the people. I mean, you can fool, you know, some of them some of the time, some of them, all of them some of the time, all that sort of stuff, but everybody knows, right? And of course, the feedback I'm getting is, not much coming out of this anymore, right? Which is too bad, because I think he's got a great story to tell.
And so that's really important, Scott, and it's something that's easy when you get to the top or you become really successful, that you just don't continue to grow. And that's why I think it is something I wanted to bring up today. The other thing is to have fun, because if you're having fun, then you know, how can you expect your audience to have fun if you're not having fun?
That's right. So, and who wants to get up there if you're like, don't look forward to it and it's not fun,
no,
right?
Absolutely. So, you know, that's one of the things that when I'm up on stage, I know that people just know I'm loving being there. I'm having a good time. It's my most favorite place in the world to be, is on stage in front of an audience. And they know it. They feel it. This isn't put on. It comes right from the heart. It comes right from the soul. And so if you're really enjoying yourself, then don't feel like you can't let people know that you're enjoying yourself.
Exactly. Because people want it. That's what's attractive, right?
It's very attractive.
People love to be around people that are having fun and doing what they want to do, right?
Because this is all energy. It truly is all energy when you're up there.
Yeah.
So there's certain things that we'll be going over in the next few weeks as far as introductions.
Give us some hints.
Well, we're going to be talking about introductions because obviously today with the computer and also with television, people have a very short attention span.
That's
so
right.
You're going to need to be able to captivate them immediately because they've decided whether they like you in about the first 30 seconds. So we're going to spend some time on what makes an effective introduction. Also, how do you conclude? Because I've seen a lot of speakers run out of time and get off stage almost apologetically.
Yeah, okay.
And not really do a strong conclusion.
Right.
We're going to be talking about pitch, power, pace, and pausing, the four P's.
The four P's.
So we've got some really good things that are coming up that are very specific, things that a lot of times aren't covered in public speaking.
Excellent. Good. I'm looking forward to it. I'm really excited about having you aboard, Jen. And why don't you let our listeners know where they can get a hold of you? What's your website?
My website is www.janjanzen.com. JanJanzen.com.
Excellent. Great. And lots of really, really good information there. Our website is podcastvoicetraining.com. If you want to learn how to do your own podcast, there's some information there for you. And this is Scott Patton and Jan Jansen saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Till next time.